before we resume our worship of God, I think I understand maybe there might be some folk interested. This regular congregation are aware our own family goes through a batch of birthdays at a particular phase of the year, and just shortly, a little while ago, I met Andrew, but just to, if you're interested, John has a birthday coming up on Saturday. 12, God willing, and we would seek your sharing in that and prayers for God's blessing and one for that. So I think that's just the one other thing that's one thing that I should highlight, and thank you all for your support this morning with the visit from Governor Kruger de Kock and his family and a number of other visitors. And today was the time that we were able to share respective ministers in different congregations around London. It would be profitable for the ongoing relationship between the congregations, especially. But we are resuming worship of God in particular this evening in joining together as we are, and we turn in our first praise this evening to Psalm 105. It's the traditional version, so that's on page 374. Psalm 105, and we'll sing the first seven stanzas, that's the verses marked 1 through to 8. Give thanks to God, call on his name, to men his deeds make known. Sing ye to him, sing psalms. Proclaim his wondrous works, each one. See that ye in his holy name to glory do accord, and let the heart of everyone rejoice that seeks the Lord. And so let's sing us ourselves through as far as verse 8 this evening, Psalm 105. Let's stand the same. We'll stay standing after that as well, if you plan to walk through.
Thank you.
We give thanks that you are our God, the one who deals with us at all, the one who deals graciously with us, the one who speaks with us, the one who makes your ways known that we might walk in them. But especially the one, O God, because we have not walked in these ways, the one who has still looked upon us in mercy and opened up that way of return through which we may enter once more into your presence, though we ourselves are responsible for closing that way in our rebellion against you. But yet you have opened it. You have given your covenant, your promises, your word is in itself infallible. You are not a man that you should lie. Have you not said, and will you not do it? And that word by which you purpose to bring your salvation amongst men, in which we might place our faith and find acceptance before you in the name of your own beloved Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. We do pray, Lord, that through faith we may be those who are the true children of Abraham, to receive your approval, receive the fullness of your wonders and the judgments of your mouth, the works of your word, the power of your word, and for the completion of your salvation. But we're also reminded, O Lord, that not once have you failed, and your word at the very beginning is the same as it is today. Your word at the very beginning is what expressed perfection, and that this world was in accordance with that perfection to begin with, and the things of this world, the way that you establish all things. As we reflect again today on your commands to us, but those commands, that word which is a revealing of your own character and your own heart, we would be taken back there gladly, that we would be pleased to know what is your eternal will for us, and to respond accordingly, to respond to your saving work as well, and that in particular, with lives given over, lives under your direction, lives for your faith. So may this be true worship. not just actions, not just a form, but that we will seek to truly respond in our prayer. We will earnestly search for you in our prayer. We will be humble under your word. We delight to hear your gracious voice to us. We continue to watch over us, we pray. Enable us in all that we would do just now. And through it all, bring glory to yourself in our lives, and that it might also be through our lives and all that lies ahead. Asking these things, O God, for your own name's sake, and asking through Christ Jesus and Him alone. May His praises be ours, may His praises be a delight to your ear, and may His name be acceptable before you. And we in Him. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Bible readings this evening, two readings in the New Testament. Let's take our reading in Hebrews chapter 4, first of all. And books that refer often back to the Old Testament foundation, and so again today, in reading in chapter 4. And it's especially built upon a particular incident in the story of Israel when the people in Numbers chapter 14 first came to the border of the Promised Land, and they sent in spies who reported back that there were giants in the land and it would be impossible for the people to enter in and to conquer the land. You might remember Joshua and Caleb contradicted that, 2 men out of 12, but there were many who, as we are reminded here, hardened their hearts and were therefore refused entry, and it was another 39 years thereafter before the people, a generation died in the wilderness, and then the people were able to enter. But let's just pick this up, at least part of it, and as we find it in chapter 4 of Hebrews. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we who have believed do enter that rest. As He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden the heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom they must give account. And then that we have the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace for help in the time of need. First of all there, the letter to the Hebrews, and then in our continuing readings in the letter to the Galatians, and we take up the reading at verse 15, which is the end of this chapter. Galatians 3 at verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. As to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make a promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. But if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Just so far, again, in God's word. He set his blessing on his words that we hear. Let us turn then to the praise of God once more. Psalm 119, the section you find on page 167, section 21. That's the verses marked 161 to 168. Psalm 119, verse 161, page 167. Though rulers bound me without cause, my heart fears nothing but your word. And that's something that is wonderful. It is wonderful that this is something that God enables his people to sing, that he provides. And it's such a heart. But it is something also to be sought after, that whatever may be going on around us, and whatever passions there are in the world around us, yet that it is God's word that is our direction. For in your promise I rejoice, like one who finds great spoil, the Lord, which is what we've just been reading of, the promise that leads to Christ, in new life in him. Let us sing that Psalm 119, 161, 168.
Oh,
We don't know the times, your appointment, which we have appointed the times for each one of us, and appointed the time even for this world. It would be true in our hearts if we seen that some could see that there are ways of good throughout the precepts. Direction is about to fall. There are many around the Lord who have a very deep struggle over recent events. But there's less puzzle when you see the conflict that men raise between themselves. It's not for our judgment or God, it's for our cry and the mercy. The mercy that you extend to all who are damaged by sin, whether their own or others. We know, Lord, this world is in upheaval. We know that this creation groans until the redemption. against his body, his resurrection. There are things to be finalized, and stuff. And you are, and we haven't. And that's Lord, in the midst of the events in Japan this past week, there are people there. And it demonstrates, not because of the exceptional talents, but not simply because this is their character of the indwelling Christ and His Spirit. Demonstrate the great love. So that this might also be found in with people in every place. This pastor acknowledges that we draw the prayers of multitudes throughout the world without stricken nation. Lord, may it not be that we wait for such terrible circumstances before there is a concerted pleading before you. May you be constant, leading to your mercies, to the straining of man's heart. That it's not just in circumstance and devastation that there is darkness, but it's too often in frustration and comfort as well. It is not in the earthquake that your voice is to be heard. Even as in some of it is today in our life. That is, it seems, a small voice, one that is distinct, one that is true, the one that will bring life to us, is your prayer. Not of these things with us. Lord, that is your prayer, and glory we pray. I pray for my brother and his little congregation in London. That's the context of the right news of God now. That's the key to the words. That's the devastation. Yet, may the loss of these rights be, and they may grieve the loss of God, may do so. Not of those who have no hope. Not of those who have no testimony. At the point of time, is ready, but not even at the but ready. We will sit here in the presence of the Almighty God, the one who judges like us and nobody else. We thank the Lord to reflect on ourselves upon this day. Go on from here. So there are many things in our lives that we try and things that you know who we are, and we have promised of God that we will not be tested beyond what we can bear, but we can seem to be close to them and we will be saved in grace. And capacity, spiritual capacity to reflect everything. There is reason to be heard constantly and to serve you for the whole time. And to ask your God as well for the situation and position that you've been having years to be going in the timeline. Thanks, Lord, for your saving grace to him. Thank you for clearing up the way. And let's be well decided that others of us have not seen, which is the servant of the ancient prophet, who has been able to see that the multitudes fall from and greater than those again. So much more. But it's your thoughts as well. You can do the same thing. You have faith in your prayer. You're so willing to pave the way for those that you have been praying. And that's the Lord that it will be a kind of growth and encouragement. Further demonstrated, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against your church founded upon the gospel of Christ Jesus, an apostolic witness. And we must say that we did not strengthen and make knowledge. And if then that we will prepare us to go on from here into the music, which will be one best of preparation and gathering for the worship of your name, to do so, out of the world, to be renewed. But not only will we hold some confession of faith, hold us to the great honor that we do, that we should be those to whom we have worked to lead us, even when it looks like in the fact. To glorify yourself with us. Accept us now as we make all things for the church. Him who loved us and gave himself to us. We must give ourselves also. Take up our cross, say, follow him. Christ Jesus. And God. In our studies in what we call the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. This evening, turning at least to begin, to find that there's more here than certainly than can well be covered in one evening. And probably in the time that I would hope to give to it, into next week as well. But the fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, let's read verses 8 through to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in it, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Remember, the Sabbath day is keep it holy. I have reflected on previous occasions that some of the things that are spoken of in the earlier commandments are very searching into our hearts. And for example, in the previous commandment, there is the second part of it tells us that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And that's a reminder that there are times when God's name is used, and we don't know whether it is an empty use, but God knows. And sometimes it seems that perhaps this is the commandment, although the second talks about not bowing before idols. That should be very obvious to anyone who's looking on. But this one is, for some at least, seems to be a very obvious thing, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why it has been a landmark in the stand, shall we say, for the fallen standards within our society, and where the Lord's Day observance and so on. That, when I first came across it, I asked myself, now why would that be? Why that in particular? But there's no doubt that it is a very clear signal as to the way which people think about the Word of God. And just as compared with some of the other aspects of the earlier commandments, but he's thinking the actions of man, the things, clearly. But even so, there's a great deal to do with the heart in this as well. I say that because there's a great deal of dispute over how it is to be applied. There was, I think, even right through the Old Testament, there certainly was in the day of Jesus, and the heart was of great of vital importance in the discussions regarding the Sabbath in the days of when Jesus and Jesus himself. That's something that would like to come into a particular way, if God wills, next Sunday morning. But I would like to try, I think we need to try to sort out some of the confusion that is out there, and perhaps even in here, some folks with regards to the Sabbath day. But we need to do it in part. I cannot do it all this evening. To do that, we must go back to the source, the original position. And we have that wrapped up in the commandment, the Ten Commandments summary. God's moral law, it was even founded here, but it is summarized, it is gathered together. And after all, there's no way that we can work this out just by ourselves. We would never even think of it just by ourselves. The whole aspect, the whole matter of Sabbath day, a day, one day, seven, is only in the hands of the Spirit of God. Speaks about the soul, puts in fact his work, and that he is what he knows all about it. And there are a part that I'm intending to look at this evening. I would suggest four main points that we need to highlight on Mount Goliath. First of all, that it is a holy day, which we have to remember and to keep. We also need to reflect within the commandment on the other 6 days for work, and let's say later as well. Thirdly, to remark on the meaning of Sabbath, the meaning and its purpose, because that's what is reflected in it, the term itself, the name, the label, the master. And then, as the commandment makes extremely clear, that is God's will, and pattern that establishes the realization of his blessing upon the day. So first of all then, that is a holy day, we are here commanded to remember to keep. Remember, Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And in the Bible, the word remember usually means to yes, to call something to mind, as we think of as remembering, but especially with a view to its application, the active, not just something floats through your mind and that's remembered. Not just that, but it is a specific remembering with a view to action. When God remembers a promise that he has made, or a covenant, it's far more than him just thinking to himself, oh, yes, I did make such and such a promise once upon a time. It's that he remembers his promise, not to be able to guess, but he remembers it in a particular way to say this is the time for its application. One of the clearest examples of that is just before Exodus 20. Earlier in the book, God comes and he speaks to Moses and he says, I remember my covenant. Tell my people, I remember my covenant. And he means there that he is about to apply that covenant by delivering his people. An active remembering. And that's what we should ourselves remember as we come across this word in this context. When you're called on to remember this day, it's much more than waking up on Sunday and knowing it's Sunday, not Monday. You know, that kind of funny thing that happens on the page when you can't remember what day. It's far more than just that. It's saying there is something vitally important about this day that is to be applied, to be put into action. Remember, I don't think we can do much better when we go on through to see here, it says, remember it, to keep it holy. That's sort of what it means to keep it holy. We probably just as well to keep it simple. What it means to keep something is to look after, to maintain, to preserve it. Quite well in this setting. In this case, we learn, we're reminded in verse 11 that it was long before this that God established this day in a particular way. He made it holy. It's because for 6 days he worked, and therefore, having rested on the seventh day, therefore, verse 11, it was the Sabbath day, and hallowed it, he made it holy. He made it holy, it is a holy day. But for us to live through that day, it is for us to keep it holy, to preserve it, to maintain it. Remember to do that. Now move to verse 279. We are reminded of it, brought to our mind, that it is to keep it the way that God made it. He made it holy. So what does that mean? What does it mean that he made it holy? What does it mean that he made anything holy? What is this holy? It means that he made it separate, he made it distinctive, he made it distinguished from other things, he made it different, he set it apart. Especially that, if he says this is, yes, it is God's day. It's the Sabbath, verse 10 says, of the Lord your God. We'll come further to that later on. But he takes this day, and he says, it's set apart for me in a very special way. None of the others that belong to him. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's every day he's made. He's made it separate. He's made it separate apart. He's holy. And then the next question surely must be not just that he's made it for himself, but for what? What are we to do in this day? What is this important? What is this we set apart this day we set apart for? In what way is it to get different? The different parts that I suppose even will serve to build that up a little bit further as we go along. But just now to say, to remind ourselves that the definition of holy is that it is God himself is holy. It is the origin of holy. He is what is his holy. And only what is it can be holy, given what now we see again. And so there is a way to make holy. It belongs to him. It does belong to him. I can bring in New Testament passages as well, but I'd like to focus on them a little more detail next time. But we do read that Jesus is God, the Lord of the Sabbath. Many people would pick up that he says the Sabbath is made for man. But he also says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one who gives the direction for how man is to make best use of it. So what is holy? David is holy. Because holy is defined by God. It's a day that should reflect him. That's really important. Remember, Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days, you shall labor and do all your work. It's not good to conquer the Ten Commandments and say, do not. Especially for anyone who knows the true state of man. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. We know that. We are aware of that. And we need to know. We need redirection from the things that we've seen. But there are also what we call positively framed expressions here, positive statements in various places. A number of commandments are typically said. This is this one. To do this. Remember the Sabbath day. This is all. And part of it is a further positive statement. 6 days you shall labor and do going to work. I wonder sometimes if this particular code has not been ever blocked over in the past. I see this and I am left wondering, when I look at the world around us and how much is going on Sunday? That's another question that I might have to do with this special question. Let's talk about Sunday as the equivalent of the Sabbath of this church here. And when we look around, what's going on Sunday? And I see this. God who made man who does this stuff on Sunday. I'm left wondering how much of what is happening on Sunday is because it's been neglected and never took place. I'm included later under this heading as well, because we live in a society that tends to put a lot of emphasis on that. You know the story of a simple fisherman on the beach, and he had a few fish beside him as he caught that morning. And he was cooking them. And some typhoon or other came along on holiday, and he started talking to this man. He said, "So how many fish do you catch a day?" "About a dozen." And he said, "Well, you've got me alongside, I can fish a boat, and I can go out and catch hundreds. Then you could sell them off and you could retire early and enjoy life." That's the way the world thinks, isn't it? People wanting to cut down the work life so they can enjoy their leisure. I think God's word knows very little about that. You will reap from the ground by the sweat of your brow. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And then people will say that you need to carry on the same. Many of you are going to adopt the gospel from time to time. That way of thinking in our world, don't expect to work. I'm not really sorry, but doesn't jump out in the way that God is going to. I might say, well, this is set in a different culture. Not speaking of chapter wars, but that sort of thing. Where it came from is, Hebrews mentioned it as well, but it came from Genesis chapter 2. It tells us that God made all things very good. Chapter 2, 7 says that ended with verses 6, 9, and 2 verses on the 7th day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, hallowed it, not the soul. And all the world was blessed. That's what he never did. That's the culture. This God established the pattern of one day, the seventh, the sin. It's a glorious world for people to have it, I think, on a Saturday evening. On Friday afternoon, before the Sabbath, Jesus reached the cross and the cross died out. This is the end of the ideal world. And it's coming to the end of the Saturday evening. It's going to be a very confusing to the ministry. Was for the priest. He just made reference to himself. But that doesn't make other things right either. Just to think on these things, remember that God, the Lord of God, meant that this day, and here I did. I did joke one day with fellow ministers when we were offered some Mars bars in this program, and they came find out. We joked about the rapid passage of time. It's not the way God ordered it. He has given to each person callings that we have, the gifts that we have, the time that we have, wall we speak to follow him, and all these things will fall into harmony. Can you believe that when it comes to fellowship? And I don't. That's a mutual examination. Forgiveness. First of all, from Adam. Isn't it wonderful? And that ability. And work with God's new way. And God's strength. If our heart's desire is the thing that pleases us most, is serving God, that could also have a bearing on the question of later. So important for people to pick in the 6th and 7th. It's not simple. We do, again, live in a world that is cursed, will be but the sweat of our brow, which is the sweat and sperm on our labor, our work. And it is sad to see that there are many who are unable to enjoy their work. I can't remember who it was, it's like how he put it, the idea that somebody was working hard and he didn't appear to do it, he just enjoyed it. It's also worrying when the physical, which is a large part of labor and recreation these days, the physical takes such prominence in so many lives. Because if the Word of God once more says, yes, the physical does give a bit of profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. What is it that God gives to us? In the 7 days of Jesus, we see it. The 6 days to be focused on the work that He's given us to do. And what is it we want to do in the 7th day? So let's just reflect a little on what it means in its sort of Sabbath day. There are many clues for this and readings that we've taken already this evening. Sabbath, the word, is a word that simply means rest. We can often come up with a bit of a confusion. Either undue pressure or undue leniency. That is what we understand. Words like this, and words can be very misrepresented. I believe it has happened over the years. As it was in biblical days, and as we think as well. What's this word, Sabbath? I'm saying it can be an unduly harsh treatment of it. We have to find the way that God intended it to be understood and used. And perhaps we might appreciate it better if we dwell a little on what it finally means in the text. The word means rest. But through the exercise there is, and come across the word Sabbath, just focus on the word rest with a capital letter as well. To remind you. Perhaps one of the problems is that it picks up what we might call a more technical meaning. It brings a hardness to the treatment. Instead of seeing how the qualities that it has to enhance life, those things are being lost, those are the things that people want to do. He'd say those people around him were unduly harsh in their weakness. Let's look back at the way that God had applied this day, the day of rest. It becomes the Sabbath day because he took his Sabbath, he took his rest on that day. How often do we look at it in those terms? And think on it. We have heard it before. We have tried to make it a day of rest, and well done if you have. And yes, I think there are more that we could establish in our thinking and renew our thinking on them. I often tell of the occasions when friend who was a minister, and said it was on the wedding day afternoon. I think he made a fair amount of eggs, and he said, you know, it's having a bit of a breather that afternoon. I was in the group and we came back, we came out with it, and came back and he said, you know what happened this afternoon? And he sat down to catch up on what was happening in the world athletic championship many years ago. So I'm a senior in Scandinavia, and we got in time to get the main practice and the following. But remember what this event was. World Athletic Championship. And I could not keep up with the Usain Bolt for this time. I'd be exhausted after a few steps, and just not physically fit. These are the supreme physical specimens in this world, attaining long distances, and so supremely physically fit and able. And ready for afternoon, the quick one is expected to be able to do it. And it's nothing. No events like that. You know what was happening in that forum of 10 days or something for the supreme athletes of this world? I couldn't take it on Sunday because it needed a rest. We are made in a cycle of 7 days, and one of those is God set us up to come to earth with us. In the old days, in the cricket section, there was a rest stop. It was a living world of change. We need basic living for man. God put man in relationship, man and wife, the beginning of a family, the beginning of society. God put He didn't put the years in place, yes, he put the seasons in place, he moved around, but he did put the week in place. That's our established pattern. You know why the French, was it in the Revolution or Napoleon probably wasn't it? He decided to change the week for 10 days. It didn't work. It's not the way we're managed. God made it this way. We need to take time. Challenge us is the need to take that gap, this rest, super rest, this day to mark the renewal of the whole system. It is the rest. What about this rest? That too can be misunderstood. What kind of rest do we have in mind? And remember, it is rest, it's not laid and bound. Rest is something that is very, very positive. Isn't rest about taking a step back from labor, work, and activity, in order to be able to step back into it and then rest? Isn't that what it's about? That recharge, it's about that renewal, refurbishing. Different ways that we live, different people that we are, perhaps different aspects of our being, need different degrees of research. I think maybe as the body of the builder can be worked, but she physically labor 6 days a week, but she doesn't need to do more DIY than what makes sense. Perhaps the structure of it to do with leaving the numbers aside for a day instead. But for every one of us, without exception, there's a need for spiritual beliefs. And that's vitally important to everything. The spiritual investment is going on. We are spiritual beings. Some people use their minds more in the work. That needs more work. Life in the dark. Some people use their bodies more. They need to do some other kind of practice of functioning. And all we need is spiritual beings. And that's just what we're accepting to do. That's for everyone. How do we renew our own spirit? That's why the catechism and confession, they talk about work. But some people, when you talk about rest, they say it's just very simple. It's the best of the book. It's not just about the day, it's just about the day, it's not just about the day. should be humbling yourself before God. The Bible says in several places, when you humble yourself, God will give you grace. He read in Hebrews 4:16 that you come to Him to find grace to help in the time of need. We need Him. We need grace. It is like humbling grace. Yes, it is. True worship is a thing that we need. Not about just worship on Sunday. There is a strength day by day. Why? There is a place. Importance in any opportunity for work. Privacy, family, public. Certainly, when there is a day that is distinguished for God, that's all. The idea and the spirit. So, the verity, that's going to be cosmic. Very different. In general culture. And usually tell them what we do in the country. What we do. 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 And consider in the life of Jesus. God has come to do this for us. Defect is happening. There's none of this saying. This is God himself. When we look at what I have done. I've done this. I've done all these great things in 6 days. And I've taken the 7th place for you. And that worship is what we should be doing on the 7th day. Is parallel by what God himself did on the seventh day. And it seems to me that what God did there is rested in the life of him. He just took the fear and the joy that he just had. Looked on it and it's very good. And enjoyed it. And he could be satisfied with his work. Now, he is the only one who is good enough to be continued. He's satisfied. There is a glory in himself. Our worship is to glory of the name. Even if that is worship. And perhaps for us here in God, a God and the Lord of God. And then the story moves on from the blessing on that seventh day. We can only conclude that he stands to a new kind of work. That from there on, and not that there was a gap on that seventh day. From there on, from the completion of work in the 6th day, he had to enter into that work of providence, because it sustains the creation. And that's where you can see that for the presence. And the pressure of creation has been defiled and shaken up so that no one thinks that the continuing work of his mission is to just walk away. Why? He was so kind as Jesus himself showed. But a good way to deal with the Sabbath, having a rest day, and this is what God is about. Remember what he said to the people who accused him of doing the wrong thing on the Sabbath, healing a man? He said that you would do a work of mercy, you would pull your animal out of the pit on the Sabbath day. That's what I've done. I've done a work of mercy for this man. I'm doing the works of my Father. This is what he was talking about, this ongoing work. And what he must show for the Sabbath. Not just the rest. So that's the pattern of the word set. Instead of what the Jesus did in the survival. He's dwelling a bit further next time. Lastly this evening, it's not always in those moments that he tells us that the Lord hallowed Sabbath day, also known in collective Sabbath day. And on a very dangerous ground, we forget that. He blessed the Sabbath. It tells us that he had a very special relationship with God. He had a very special relationship with God. It's very important. And we read just in the previous phenomenon, but you're a clean exception. The chocolate is magic. I think the weekly is the chocolate is just magic. Very special. It doesn't say cover of the Lord's will done. And if in any way you take this way or chocolate, you need it for yourself. And these great people do that when they're talking about it, people are astounded about it. Mm-hmm. It's a God. Not very different. It can be a blessing, a blessing of character. So, it's made, it's made different for the men. Now, as I say these things, I know that there are many photographs of the fact that we're being in the extreme. But I'm simply trying to face up, and I'm pretty interested in things in my own way of life and dealing with today, but I'm not. Today, but they should be. It's hard to apply to the Jesus for any of us. But this is the Word of God. In terms of the person of the opposite question, that is me, but after these questions of you. Jesus is just different on you, different to you. And perhaps the answer is to recognize. When we talk about Peter, God gave made a day and seven every day of rest. So 6 days of labor, time and labor. Yet it turns to the Lord. He gave us a day to rest. Put everyone in our household. Son, daughter, servants, man, visitors, cattle, everyone.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.